Amen, Lord. This morning I want to declare that it is awesome to be in your presence, and it's a privilege for us to serve you. Father, thank you that there's joy in your presence. Come and wash over us today with your joy and just your peace that surpasses all understanding, Father. Help us to take it out there into the world that people can see what we have. Father, we're privileged and we're honored to have what we have. So honored to know you as our Father. And we just glorify your name. We lift and we magnify your name, Father. We pray that you will go with us, that your presence will not leave us. As Moses said, he does not want to go anywhere without your presence. We ask the same, Father. Father, we also thank you that you're gonna rain on us. Rains or droplets, drops, showers are going to fall on us. Not because we deserve it, but it's your heart. It's your heart to shower us with your love. It's your heart to shower us with your peace. Father, and it's your heart to bless this church individually, to bless us individually, and to bless the community around us. And thank you that we can just be a vessel in your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I just like, Edna wants to share something quickly.
I just would like to share with you, I recently went down to Bloemfontein and we had a car accident. But I want to just share with you something about it. As we, 50 kilometers before the border, as we just went over the hill, you know that valley there is just, everything is flat and straight and forever. And you can think nothing can happen there. Well, that's where it happened. As we came over the hill, there was this very, very big thorn bush that just blew into the road. It was higher than the front of my car. And, you know, those cars, their wheels are very small. And I just knew this would be serious. But having had a trailer, because I was taking my daughter down to Bloemfontein with a fridge and microwave and everything in it, I knew that you can't just swerve out for something with a trailer. So I decided I'm going to go for the middle of the road, and then hopefully the side of the car will just politely push the bush out of the way. But as I headed for the middle of the road, there was a rock, and I tried to miss it, but I hit the rock, and it caused the steering to do that. So moving to the middle of the road and the rock, well, the trailer didn't like that. So all of a sudden, the trailer came and bashed us on this side of the road, which made me slightly look as if I'm going to go off the road. And I thought, well, I need to, because I was busy slowing down, and then I thought, okay, let's see if I can drive this thing out. And I was just taking my foot off the brake and to excel, to try and drive it out, when the trailer had come around the other side and swung the entire car around. And now I was facing the fences and the electric pole and the ditch and everything with it. And when I saw this happening, I realized, well, there's absolutely nothing I can do now. I can't do anything. And I just held onto the steering wheel to lock it, that it doesn't do this wherever I land. And immediately the scripture came up to me, in everything give thanks. And I started to say aloud, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And my daughter was sitting next to me. And she was just, you know, I just sensed her anticipation. And I just started to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all of a sudden, there was dust everywhere. And we were shaking. And, you know, I don't have a clue what happened and how things happened. But when the dust settled down, we were facing the road again. And we had stopped just in front of the road. And there was traffic coming by. And When they climbed out, you know, we all have our different reactions to anything that happens. They must have thought I was a crazy lady because I said, hallelujah, hallelujah, we're alive, hallelujah. Look, my daughter's living. Jesus, thank you. But I just want to tell you, in everything, give thanks, because we ended up landing on top of the fridge. The trailer had turned around, wound itself three times around the car. How it didn't flip the car is another miracle. The fact that we didn't go crashing through the fence and the pole was another miracle. as well as that when we landed, that we didn't carry on driving onto the road because of the oncoming traffic. And there was just so many things that we can say, you know what? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. God is a God of miracles, and if you want driving lessons, go to Edna. Because she's got it all swerving and accelerating. It seems like she knows what she's talking about. But amen. We also had an accident. You heard about our surfboard accident. It was raptured off the... off the roof racks. I mean, not. It was the, even the roof racks were raptured off the car. It's just vanished. Somebody in Keetmanshoop is, is surfing on the dam there somewhere, the Nauta Dam or what's that dam? The big one. Anyway, at least we weren't hurt in the process. Amen. Welcome everyone. I want to share on something today. We had a quite long introduction here this morning, but it's awesome. All these things happening in church, and I'm very blessed by what Nicole and Rana did, you know, the dancing and so on. So if you feel, if you want to get involved with that, please contact them. We really need to grow our arts aspect of the church. Arts was actually created, it was created by God, but that it would glorify God, not the stuff that we're getting nowadays. When it comes to art, I remember I was in a, this is nothing to do with this sermon, I was in an art gallery in Amsterdam, and it was a modern art. It looked like a bunch of rubbish, that's how it seemed. I mean, I was really trying to be deep and understand this stuff, but I couldn't understand it, because I could do that. That is one massive wall, a few lines of orange paint, you know. I could also do that and get lots of money, but I don't know how it works. Anyway, but I did see some other stuff there in Europe. Van Gogh and Rembrandt, all those nice things. That's got some talent. Amen. I want to share on something that God has been speaking to us in the intercession for a while now, or a while back, I would say, and I just think it fits in with what we preached a few weeks ago when I preached on proclaiming the word of God in your town and in our place, and that the proclamation that we have and that we can actually control has such a massive effect on our surroundings, on your household, on wherever you are. And I want to latch onto that sermon today, speaking about the desire to prophesy. Now, the moment that one starts saying the word prophecy, if you were like me a few years ago, prophecy seems like, when you hear prophecy, people look away. It's not for me. Prophecy is for weird people. Prophecy is for funny people. So if I say prophecy and I look, and people are going like this. They're like, they think prophets are these funny people that do funny things. And if you haven't heard of a prophet, then some people just stay away from a prophet. Because even if you look at the Bible, they were, you know, the prophet was quite an intense person. But I want to remove all of that this morning, and I want to say that Shofar Church is called, we're not special, but churches are different, and they're called to different directions and stuff like that. It's the body of Christ. Body parts look different, so Shofar just looks a little bit different. Nothing special, and that is to be prophetically relevant in a time wherever we are. And that, I must admit, to me was a challenge, because we did that in Foundation 2 always. They say Shofar is prophetically relevant, and then I think, well, that must be Pastor Fred, not me, because this prophet thing scares me. But I want to remove all of that. I want to say that we can all be prophets, and I'll read a scripture that says that God wants us to desire prophecy. But now, if one looks at 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 14, we're not going to go there now, but he speaks of the spiritual gifts. Amen. Have you heard of them? And I just want to quickly give a quick introduction on three gifts, because I believe they can go hand in hand. They differ slightly, and sometimes people ask me, how do they differ? What's the difference between this and that one? I don't want to split hairs about that. because I think they work together sometimes. It's the principle behind, you know, prophecy and so on. So the one, there are nine gifts. I'm just mentioning three here this morning. One of them, prophecy, forms part of the oral gifts. Oral gifts. And it is God speaking through us. Amen. Are you with me? I don't want to lose you early on. But prophecy is, and I've got some definitions there. Prophecy is divinely inspired. So it is God, like that part there at the top says, it is God speaking through us, but it is divinely inspired. What does that mean? It is not something that we thought about last night and we read about it in a book or we saw it on TV and now we want to share that. It does not originate from there, from even our minds. It originates from God. Amen? And one thing I actually encourage you to do that is if you're in any small group or wherever you are, trust God to pray for somebody. You don't have to pray for him there, but go and pray for somebody and see how committed God is to speak to you about that person. See how committed God is to speak to you about that person in order to bless him. God is very committed. You guys in school, I don't want to tell you, try it, test it out. Just do it and see what God is very committed to speak through us. God wants his will to be done on earth, not by him coming down again and sorting everything out, but through us. So it is divinely inspired, and it's part of how I want to approach the sermon today is not to scare people, but to say, you know, to partner with God, to go into a contract with God it's like a good business venture. You know, if you join a good business, it's an exciting thing that's happening. And that's, this whole thing about prophecy should not be the scary thing. It should be, wow, we're gonna partner with God. Okay, it's supernatural proclamation. It is the foretelling of the will of God, prophecy. We're not going to go into too much detail of this, but it is the foretelling of the will of God. So if God wants us to prophesy in this place, if he wants us to prophesy in your school, to your friend, it would relate around something about the future will of God for that person or that place specifically. Are you with me? So one can prophesy, oh, I can prophesy over my wife. I can prophesy over my house. You know, one can, but it can go on from there. It can be church. It can be Swakop. It can be Namibia. It can be Africa. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It is the foretelling of God's will. And sometimes if we find ourselves in a situation in our house, because stuff doesn't always go according to plan, then it's sometimes time for us as the prophet and the priest, or me as in the house, to prophesy over that area. That doesn't mean I become weird. I hear from God and I speak God's will over that thing. Amen. Did I tell you about our dog that got sick? I haven't told you. It's this little Vorswinky. And the thing just got sick. And we took it to the vet. They couldn't figure out what's happening. So we decided we're going to pray for this Vorswinky. So we actually anointed this dog. We anointed him, prayed for him. You can just do that with everything in your life. You know, just speak God's will. And the dog, we actually SMS people. But we should pray for people more than dogs. But anyway, but it worked. It worked. You can speak God's will into that situation. Amen. Are you with me? And it's the manifestation of the Spirit of God and not our intellect. Then I'm just going to mention we're going to focus on prophecy this morning, but let me just come to the word of knowledge also. First one, it's an oral gift. It is God speaking through us. That's prophecy. The word of knowledge is a revelation gift, and it is God informing us. Knowledge, to know. Knowledge means it's something that you know. You can read about it in a. We don't find these encyclopedias anymore. We had these 20 encyclopedias, and I thought that everything in the world is contained in them, and then came the internet. Nowadays you can find anything on the internet. The other day we wanted to know how to peel a mango without messing. So I Googled it. And you actually find a mango peeler. But now I need to import the thing. That's going to cost me like 5 times more than... Anyway, where am I? Okay, word of knowledge. It is a revelation of what is now. Now. It reveals a part of God's knowledge. It is information pertaining to a person, event, or circumstances, current or past. It is factual details. Word of knowledge. We're not going to split hairs, but if God comes over us, a person, and he gives you a word of knowledge, you pray for somebody, a word of knowledge with me. You went through a tough financial time last week, and God says he's going to bless you. That's a word of knowledge. And the guy would be like, who told you? No, God told me. Amen. And then the third one there is the word of wisdom. It's also a revelational gift. God informing us, word of wisdom. It is disclosing the mind, the purpose, and the way of God as applied to a specific situation. Now, let's say that person that went through the financial crisis, now you pray for him, you have the word of knowledge, you went through a crisis last week, that's a word of knowledge, but God says, do this and do this. That would be the word of wisdom on how to apply it to this, how to get this thing right. But it's God's wisdom. It's once again, it's not me telling him, you out of my intellect, go and tithe and do this and sell your car. That's just my knowledge. That's my intellect. Word of wisdom is God saying, giving us a strategy and a direction. Is everybody, yes, you're understanding me. His intelligent plan to employ his design and purpose in any given situation. It is a sense of divine direction. And I want to encourage you this morning. I'm just speaking about only prophecy, but mentioning these two now. God really wants us to... Why would God want us... Why does he give us these gifts? Why? Can somebody... Just tell me, why does God give us these gifts? Amen. Give him glory. To bless others. Amen. I think all of those answers are correct. The gifts of the Holy Spirit should not be, oh my word, Lord, you're going to use me. Oh, I'm so scared. It should be, oh, God's going to bless me. He's going to bless my house. He's going to bless people around me. Yes, I want more of this. Please, Lord, give me this. Amen. And like I said, just as God is committed to somebody else, if you pray for him, he's so committed to speak to us. Give us a word of wisdom for that person because that's his heart. So if you think here this morning, oh, but I'm not worthy, God, you are worthy. God just is looking for a vessel willing to be used. That's all. Because he wants to be he wants to bless. Amen. Okay. But we're speaking about prophecy here this morning. Let's read 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Okay, it says pursue love. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, gifts. Just something else I have to say. You know, if in other religions, especially when it comes to the occultic stuff, God is completely different to that. If God says, earnestly desire, earnestly look for this, earnestly try and find it, try and sort it out, it is going to be good for us. It's going to bless us. So if there's any fear in our hearts when it comes to these things, I just want to tell you that just recognize that it's not coming from God. Because if God says, earnestly desire this, it's like that scripture says, if somebody asks him for a bread, he's not going to give him a snake. God is a good God. Amen. Earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or gifts. This is from the Amplified. But it says, especially that you may prophesy. So one doesn't want to, I don't want to highlight or emphasize one specific gift, but God says, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Especially that you may prophesy. So this scripture to me says, and once again it's important, like I said, what is God's motive behind this? Why does he want us to prophesy more than maybe the others? I believe it's just to speak into those situations so that we can, through God's anointing, influence those situations, change them. Amen. And God is, you know, these small little playing toys that you get, those little cars that you wind them back like this. You need to keep them on the carpet, whatever. You wind them and then you let them go and zzzz, but only 5 meters. Zzzz, it stops there. Then you need to go again. Zzzz. Or this, when I was small, we had these little bikes that you could pull a little lever and then the wheel would spin and zzzz, but it only would go 10 meters. Now, God is not in the business. If He speaks to us, earnestly desire the gift of prophecy, He doesn't want to wind us up in 5 meters and He needs to do it again. Amen. Are you with me? Are you seeing the picture? Have you been to London where they've got these undergrounds and above grounds and whatever? They've got a circuit. Most of them have got an electric circuit. That thing doesn't need to be winded up for 5 meters and next town and next town. It's constantly connected to the power. Does it make sense? That train goes, okay, if the power goes out, if the electricity goes out, if we run out of coal or uranium, then the thing would not work. But God, what I want to tell you is, I'm not trying to wind you up. God does not want to wind us up and then we go for 5 meters. Because that will be coming from the flesh. It lasts for 5 meters. And then we do it again. But God wants to connect us to that circuit. Amen. He wants us to connect us to that circuit so that we can bless others. Amen. But let's look at prophecy. I believe it's important to look at the authenticity. What does that mean? It means if it says made in China, that it might not be authentic. No Chinese here this morning. But if you have a pair of pants or Nike shoes, you know, you want to know that Nike was made where it originated, where Nike was created. Where was that? America. But sometimes you get these fakes. They even spelt almost like Nike, or what's it? You get Adidas and you get weird names. It looks like Adidas. You see it? Oh, it's not Adidas. That's a fake. You know? Did I tell you this? Ooh, you know, I'm trotting on territory I shouldn't go. But when I worked at Namwater, we had to install these pipes. So the one guy told me he was in the factory in China. No Chinese, but we must get Chinese. but they told them, well, you could see the pipes being made there. They're there in the factory, which is fantastic. It's massive. And at the end, they spray on, made in Germany. Amen. That's not authentic. I'm speaking about the authenticity of prophecy. What are the signs that we can look into? Because I also want to say that some people, many times people don't understand, you know, they think we're full of rules and regulations. But some people go off to all kinds of weird prophets and people, and they prophesy over them, and they speak things over their lives. Quit your job and start God's plan for your life and get involved in this. I don't know. I've heard lots of weird stuff. And then it's not a real prophet. It can be a real prophet. I'm not saying there aren't real prophets. But my heart then is just, who told you to go there? Who is this man? Has somebody checked him out? What's he going to prophesy of your life? Then people think I'm all weird and I don't want people to get involved in prophets. No, I'm not. I just need to protect the sheep that's under our fold. Amen. So what I want to say, if somebody prophesies or prays over your life, if you go to somebody else, I would like you to go through these two rules. I think it's two or three, just to check whether or not prophecy is from God. So that's the one reason why I want to discuss this authenticity of prophecy. But also the other one is, if we see the heart of God in this, if we see the root, the origin of why He wants us to prophesy, it makes a whole lot more sense. It's not there to be weird. It's not there to scare people out of church. That's not His heart. Okay, amen. Revelation 19 verse 10. This is from the Amplified. This was an angel that was speaking to, is it John? Then I fell prostrate at His feet to worship, to pay divine honors to Him. But He restrained me and said, refrain, you must not do that. I'm only another servant with you and your brethren who have accepted and hold the testimony born of by Jesus. The first one there. Worship God For the substance, the essence of the truth revealed by Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. This, let me just get this translation. It says there, the first thing that I want you to notice there is, it says, well, you know, it happened here that obviously there was the presence of God was there and he fell to his face and the angel tells him, I'm not God. Please get up, worship God, first thing. Revelations 19 verse 10, didn't it? And this, at this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There are two things here. True prophecy, first thing, is born out of a worship with God. It's a worship towards God. It is born out of a deep relationship with God. It is not born out of some desire to look fancy or to look funny or to stand on front of the stage and make people tremble. The first deep root or origin of prophecy is worshiping God and being in His presence, you know, hearing from Him, hearing His word, and taking that to the world, taking that to the situation that we are in. And the second thing is prophecy, like the scripture says, for the substance, the essence of the truth revealed by Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy should always glorify Jesus, or it should almost, I want to say, just encompass the whole message of Jesus Christ, what He came to do. Prophecy should not be weird. If Jesus is not somewhere in a prophecy, you know, it doesn't mean we have to, the name Jesus have to be mentioned. But if a prophecy, it does not carry something where people want, is getting blessed, because that was Jesus' heart, where the gospel is preached, you know, all these things, then it's not prophecy. Amen? There's another scripture, it's not up there, that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of adoption by which you cried, Abba Father. I want to say, I must say this. If anything that people prophesy as a praise over you and it makes you afraid, tremble, man, that is not God. That spirit is not from God. It can even be. There's a difference between reverential fear and being afraid. God can challenge us and say, I need you to be an evangelist. But you know what Pastor Fred says this, and I really like it. Who was stoned in the New Testament? Stephen. He always mentions this. It's not mentioned in the Bible, but it most likely that Jesus spoke to Stephen before that and said, Stephen, are you willing to give up your life? Will you be able to die for me? And he would have had a decision to make and says, yes, Lord, I'm going to do this. Does this scare you? All I'm saying is that Jesus does not overwhelm us. He does not abuse us. He's a gentleman. He comes and he says, this is my plan for you. Are you ready for it? Can I prepare you for it? Can I take you there? That's how God works. So these things where people are forced into stuff and where they feel more condemned after a prayer session is from the devil. I can't see it where it should be from God. Amen. So, it is born out of a reverential worship for God where He speaks to us and it testifies of Jesus Christ. The substance, the essence of it is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then let's skip to 2 Peter 1 verse 21. For no prophecy ever originated because some man willed it to do so. It never came by human impulse, but men spoke from God who were born along, moved and impelled by the Holy Spirit. I want to add on to that thing where it is out of a worship relationship with God. It is also out of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, like the scripture says. We're born along, moved and impelled by the Holy Spirit. We had a small group this week and we spoke about the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit came. Jesus said, I have to go because I need to send you a helper. That word helper is parakletos. It is somebody, parakletos means walking next to you. He's there. When you need him, he helps. And our relationship with the Holy Spirit is so important. And you know what? They relate the Holy Spirit to, if you could say, God is the man and the Holy Spirit is the wife. It's all they're trying to say is the Holy Spirit is sensitive. I mean, it nowhere in Scripture it says that, but the Holy Spirit is sensitive. Don't step on its toes. It gets grieved easily. The Holy Spirit, once again, does not bombard into your room if somebody is watching wrong TV shows or doing wrong things on the internet. He's not coming there. He's not going to switch off the computer or the TV. He's going to say, please, I have to leave. And then we can decide. You switch it off or you leave it on. But he's not going to switch it off. He's a gentleman. Amen. And yeah, it's just blessed to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is blessed to, when things are going wrong in one's lives, whatever, just to have that still small voice speak to you. And I just want to, you know, this is part of it. I just want to encourage you, cultivate your relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's that still small voice that speaks to us. You know, and like women, like a wife, they're sensitive. That's fine. They're not going to change. They were made like that. Get over it. You know? Stop being a whatever. And the same with the Holy Spirit. He's not going to change. He's sensitive. Switch it off. When he says, I'd like you to do some quiet time, spend some time with me. That's how he'll say it. He won't say, I want you to spend some quiet time. Stop it now. No, that's all he'll say. And when we quench that voice. And once again, it's not to condemn anybody here, but there's so much blessing, spiritual blessing that the Holy Spirit wants to impart on us. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation, we've got no answers, and we get no answers. But if we run in our physical and our own ways trying to sort this thing out, it will remain a frustration. If we sometimes go to the Holy Spirit and just, or go have quiet time and say, Lord, God will speak to us. And the situation might not change, but the peace will come back. So the only reason I'm saying this is God wants to bless us with this peace that surpasses all understanding, with life and life in abundance. You know, and if one looks at the life and life in abundance of the apostles, I think three quarters of them were were martyred. So, but they had the life. So it's not only a natural thing. And it's amazing that, I'm not supposed to preach about this, but anyway, it's amazing that if one sees what's happening in the world nowadays, you know, there was an earthquake in Haiti. They're saying 200,000 people dead. Then you hear about financial crises and schools are too full and schools are going down. I mean, if you listen to all of that, it can be very easy to become very negative quickly. But then the Holy Spirit speaks to you and he says, it's all right. And then we walk with that peace and people don't understand it. But we can also lose that peace. I mean, I need to go on. Prophecy. I'm actually speaking about prophecy. Now, I just want to... Prophecy, for me, I think that there is a specific purpose, and it's not something new, but the specific purpose of this whole word about prophecy is very needed in church. Not only our church, this whole thing where we proclaim things, where we prophesy things, is important because we can look at Scripture. It was very evident when there were dark days, when life was crazy, and life is crazy around us nowadays. And I can't say why the earthquake was in Haiti. I will preach on not something like that, but there's a scripture that says the whole earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I also don't think that these natural disasters are necessarily going to stop. The frequency will just probably be more. But that's not for me to decide, and it's not God judging us. If God would judge us, we would know it. Nobody would guess this is God. Anyway, dark days. And during dark times, during times where it's corrupt and the world needs a breakthrough, that's the time where the prophet must rise up, where he can speak a mega shift into an area and change things around. When we can start directing the history of a place, like I said a couple of weeks ago, if we don't take charge spiritually direction over this country, over Swakop, over my house, over this church, something else will. Something else is giving a spiritual direction. It is for us to move that thing into God's way. Amen. And I was speaking, so, you know, I mean, you have this, these examples now of what happened in Haiti, but I was speaking to somebody this weekend. They went, and yeah, I've got so much to say now, but they told us, he told us about a camp that they had for young guys. Most of them were rugby players. White rugby players coming from affluent white homes, rich. They had a camp with him, a Christian camp. He tells me, I don't know if I should believe it, and I can't exactly remember, but it's like 60% of them had stories of where they were molested. You know, and that's in the good homes of this nation. What happens in the bad homes? So it is a dark days we're finding ourselves in. You know, and my spirit just get, but it's amazing what they did on that camp. What else did he share? You know, and the things that the boys have been through. I mean, when I was at school, let me just say this out loud. It's probably because my parents just instilled this almost like godly fear in me that you don't sleep around. So it was actually, according to me, it wasn't really happening when I was in matric. And I'm not that old. But now he tells me these guys confess, and they're like, everybody sleeps around. And they're in school. You know, and we can't fight the people. We must fight the demons behind the people. But it's definitely dark days we're finding ourselves. You can ask any doctor. I've heard this. Not from our doctors in church, but I mean, these cases of youngsters being involved with all these kinds of weird and awful things is just rife. It's everywhere. So it is dark days. It's time for us to step up and to prophesy into those areas. Ezekiel 1 verse 1. Now this is just an example in the Old Testament. I read Ezekiel a couple of weeks ago. And the time in which Israelites found themselves when in the time of Ezekiel was one of the worst times ever. They were in exile. 10,000 of them were in exile. It was a dark day for God's people. It was a dark day on earth. There were all kinds of upheaval and infighting and fighting between nations. Let me just read this. Now it came about in the 13th year, on the 5th day of the 4th month, while I was by the river Chebar among the exiles, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Now Ezekiel is with the exiles. So it's a time. It's dark. It's terrible. Ezekiel 3 verse 1 to 4. And this is where God speaks to him. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat the scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he fed me with the scroll. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. Throughout Ezekiel, God says, Son of man, go and prophesy. Son of man, go and prophesy. Son of man, go and prophesy. In a time very dark, God speaks to Ezekiel. He says, Ezekiel, can you see what's going on here? I need somebody that will go and speak to them. Amen. And I believe that as a church, and not only our church, but that we have that mandate from God now, especially in the time that we're finding ourselves in. We have that mandate from God to go out and speak. Son of man, go and speak. Don't prophesy something. Just get some positiveness back into this place. Get some spiritual direction. Amen. Amos 3 verse 7. Surely, and this is quite a challenging one. Because God did not make robots. If God just wanted everything, no involvement from us, no decision making from us, He could have made robots and everything would have happened like He wanted it to happen. But He placed so much responsibility on us because He loves us. Surely Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret counsel to His servants, the prophets. Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. I almost want you to get this picture. It doesn't happen nowadays so often, but let's go back to the 500s or the 600s, when the king of England or whoever, the king of any place, if he would decree something, if he would say, we're taking over Scotland, or whatever they did, it would happen. But there was such a, the people just revered him. It just happened. If he said it, stuff happens. Army gets deployed. It needs to happen now. This is what I've decided. And I believe as a prophet, prophesying over people's lives, we almost have that same power. But now let's not think of nowadays governments, because nowadays people can say lots of things, but really very little happens. But like that king would say, we're doing this. If we prophesy into somebody's life, it is almost like stuff's going to happen now. The armies are going to get together. They're going to make a strategy, and it's going to happen now. It needs to happen now because the king has spoken. And this scripture says, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Matthew 13:35, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the mouth of the prophet. You look at which was spoken by the Lord through the mouth of a prophet. So if we look at what situation we're finding ourselves in, school, wherever it is, God is asking us to say, please come and hear from me and then speak it. Please come and hear from me and speak it into your situation. Amen? Then we can skip the next one, Jeremiah. We can skip Jeremiah 23. Now I'm just going to finish off, but it's quite a few scriptures, if everybody's still with me. Are you? Amen. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. I'm going to stop there first. But in our lives and where we find ourselves, there are so many dry bones. Speaking of death, there's so many stuff that has died. So many relationships that has died. So many marriages has died. So many children's lives have been ruined. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause my breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold sinews were on them, and flesh grew and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they became life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. I didn't even see that. But God speaks to Ezekiel in this deep pit of death, bones everywhere, and he says, son of man, please speak to these things, because you're my agent. My heart is to speak life. My heart is to get flesh back onto these relationships, flesh back into this marriage. I want to heal that heart of that young one that has been abused. I want to get that one, that person saved. Speak, please. Speak to these dry bones. But you know, I haven't even seen this, but if you look at this, verse 10, God, and that's what God would like us to see. If somebody comes to church, don't, you know, and many people come and they've got so many problems, so many issues. You know, let's get into the habit where we stop ourselves right there and say, Lord, what do you see? Because God saw a great army. He didn't see a mess. He saw past the mess. And he said, but I've created this thing to do this. This is a warrior. This is a man of God. And you know what? We can listen to people's life stories of 50 problems. Try through our flesh, give them guidance. Maybe get some results, or we can say, but I sense that God says, before you even hear about the problem, that God is, you know, whatever God says, you're going to be a mighty man of God. We're not lying to people. We hear from God and we say that. And that what you've gone through is from the devil and God is going to raise you up. You know what? You've answered those 20 questions with one prayer that came from God's heart. One message that came from God's heart that speaks into that thing that is dead and brings it to life. We are surrounded. Amen. Did you see we got a bus for the youngsters? Well, we didn't buy it, but we're going to trust God now for that whole triple S, correct, to come to Jesus. Oh, now they're all looking. They're looking down. But we can start, everybody that I speak to, and I also make this mistake. Oh, that school is like this. They've got no discipline, and they can't get anything right. And man, speak life over that thing. You know, speak life over. Oh, people's marriages fall apart in Sokopun because that's one of the enemy strategies. Thank you for that, but this is what God says. Speak it. Amen. So that life can come into these things. And God says, Son of Man, do it. Not I'll do it. You can sit back and relax. He wants us to do it. And then he said to me, verse 11, Son of Man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Carol, can you play for us? Then you will know that I am the Lord. Once again, this is the heart of God behind all of this. I don't want to show that I can do tricks and stuff, and I'm awesome and great. We know that, and God is going to manifest His glory, but this is actually just my heart, that you will know me. When I've opened your graves and caused you to come out of your graves, my people, I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I'm the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Amen. Can we stand? I just want to read this last two scriptures. If this whole thing... Oh, yeah, I've got a lot to say, but anyway, you can stand. Once again, if you look at Ezekiel 3, God has prepared. God prepared Ezekiel for this. Because Ezekiel just saw mountains. Ah, Lord, how am I going to do this? Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them or to be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house. In that passage right there, God prepared Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, I know this is a tough thing to do. I mean, it's dark days, it's stuff happening all around us, but I'm making you all right. I'll sort you out. I'm going to be with you so that you don't have to go through this alone. They difficult people, but I'll make you difficult as well. God prepared Ezekiel. And this morning, I feel that God wants to prepare us to be prophets. And I just quickly need to run through my last slide. How do we start? We worship God. It comes from out of a relationship with Him, a deep one, a revelation of Jesus Christ. So how do you start? Pray. Say, Lord, who are you? Just have quiet time. Listen. Hear the voice of God. Draw close to Him. Sometimes it might just mean that you, because the reason I'm mentioning this is we don't have to tomorrow start with a prophecy of 20 minutes long. Let's just start small. Sometimes it can be just like you guys, or any of us in a small group, you just bring a scripture in season. And that scripture has a prophetic aura around it. It has a prophetic destiny. You know? You can just pray for people, like I said. God's heart is to bless people. If we pray for them, God will speak to us about them. And just let's be obedient with simple, small steps. If you find yourself, if you see somebody negative or downtrodden, and God says, just go and tell him that I love you. Or God might say more. This has happened to him yesterday. Just be obedient. Let's speak to them. Amen. I just want us to bow our heads. As I was preparing, or last night, I just wrote down these few things. I feel that there's so much death spoken over people, even here. And I believe that there's an anointing here this morning for us to even prophesy over your life here this morning, to speak life into that, into those dry bones that you experience, into those dry areas. Ek voel die Here wil in sekere mense se lewens net lewe spreek vandag. Daai ou droë bene, daai goed wat so oud is, wil die Here kom praat mee en hy wil lewe daarin sit. And if you feel like that this morning and you want God to just speak some life into you, as our heads are bowed, if you are somebody like that, I feel there's an anointing here this morning for us to pray and prophesy over your life. If you want prayer, quickly raise your hand. Is there more people that want us to pray for you? I'm going to ask those people and Werner and Norbert and Nas, maybe you can help us also. Just come and pray. Those that put up your hands, can you quickly come forward? We're going to pray for you now. If there are other people here that also want prayer, just come forward quickly. We're gonna pray over you today. We're gonna bless you. And just lastly, if there's anybody here this morning that you can come forward anytime. If there's anybody here that has not received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior yet, we want to bless you this morning. Today is the day of your salvation. You can have an amazing, powerful relationship with God that is not dead. We don't preach religion. We preach life. We preach relationship. If you don't have a relationship with God, and if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to do that this morning, quickly raise your hand. If there's somebody like that that wants to receive Jesus Christ for the first time in his life, I see your hand. Just come forward. We're going to pray for all of you. If there's anybody else that wants prayer, that wants to give their lives to Jesus, just come forth and there will be people that will be praying for you. Amen. Werner, can you come and help us here? I just want to pray over these people. We're going to pray for them, but I just want to speak life in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray the blood of Jesus Christ over this man. Father, we pray that you will protect him and bless him. Father God, we want to speak a tunnel through these mountains. Ons bil 'n tunnel deur hierdie berge en obstacles bid in Jesus naam. Vader, ons wil lewe spreek in sy lewe vandag. Die Here sê dat hy wil jou lewe en lewe in oorvloed gee. Life and life in abundance. Father, and you know all the obstacles, you know everything that we need to go through. But you want to bless. So we want to prophesy. Father, we see the end result. We see the end result. We don't see the stuff in the middle. We see what this man is destined to be, and we speak that destiny into his life in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to pray for these people up here. I can just close off in prayer quickly. Nicole and Rana, can you please come and help here? Just pray for these ones. Amen. I'm just going to close off, then we'll be finished. If you want prayer, come forward. Lord, thank you for today, and we thank you that as we pray for these people now, that your Spirit will really flow through us. Father, we pray that people will go out here with a sense of joy and that God is with us, Emmanuel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.